Very sadly, oftentimes human beings will take their misguided human experiences and project them onto God. For example, a person perhaps may have a father who was abusive, verbally or physically, perhaps was absent, and gave a very negative impact on a person, and they begin to think of God in the very same way because we call God Father. Or oftentimes people who don't have a very serious understanding of God see their own human experiences within themselves, and they think, well, God made me this way, therefore I have to be this way, when that way is not godly at all. And it could be things like homosexuality, transgenderism, or all kinds of different sins, or people try to justify it by saying that God made me that way. No. It is true that God made us, but we also have the bad, or I should say negative effect of original sin that makes us unlike God. But God does give us grace to change and become something different. It's not enough for us to look at God only from a human perspective and try to define God only by human terms. We have to see God as He actually is, how God reveals Himself. And we see this over and over again in Scripture. Paganism can be described as man on his own trying to search out for God and coming up with some pretty wrong conclusions. Christianity, on the other hand, is the opposite, where God searches us out and reveals Himself to us as He is so that we can understand not just Him, but also understand ourselves and who we are, made in His image and likeness. And thus we come to today's Feast of the Holy Trinity. We speak of God and of gender. God creating gender for a specific purpose, I'm going to explain as we see the Holy Trinity and how it affects us as human beings. We as Christians believe in one God, and one God in three divine persons. And the Church has always been meticulously careful to make sure that the terms were quite clear how we spoke of God and how we spoke of Christ as He truly is. For example, there was once a heresy called modalism that said, true, there is only one God, and that God would manifest Himself in different forms. Sometimes He appeared as Father, sometimes He appeared as the Son, sometimes as the Holy Spirit. Well, that, of course, was incorrect, and the Church condemned that. God is one in essence, right? What makes God, God is one. But at the same time, there are three divine and distinct persons. And we see this very clearly in the prologue of St. John's Gospel, but also at the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River. As John says, in the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word came forth from the Father, but was distinct from Him. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That would be Jesus, God incarnate, the Son. At Christ's baptism in the Jordan, you have God the Father saying, behold, my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to Him. You see Jesus being baptized in the Jordan River, and the Holy Spirit coming to rest on Jesus in the form of a dove. One God, three persons. In the beginning, when God made us, He said, let us make man in our image. Who's He talking to? Not the angels, because we're not made in their image and likeness, nor are we made in the image and likeness of the animals, but in the image and likeness of God. What makes us like God? You've heard me say this before. The fact that we can think rationally, that we can choose freely, and we can also love unconditionally. That makes us like God. God made us like Himself. But again, going back to God, there are three persons, and so after God makes Adam, the question is, who or what can Adam have a relationship with that's like Himself? He can hug the trees, but the trees don't hug him back. He can have a rapport with the other animals, but they don't do for him what he does for them. I know because I have a dog. He loves to have his belly rubbed. I rub his belly every day. He never rubs mine. So, it's a one-sided relationship. But God, of course, looked at Adam and said it was not good for the man to be alone. He needed one like himself with whom he can establish a relationship of love. And so we know the rest of that story, how God creates Eve. Now notice what Adam says of Eve. He says, she is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She is of the same substance as he is. They're equal in dignity before God. They're different, though, but God intended that to be that way. They're male and female. They look different. They think differently. They feel differently. They express themselves differently. They are of the same human species, if you would. like God himself is one, but two distinct persons, but they're made one by God. And then God gives them the very first commandment of all the sacred scripture, which is not don't eat the fruit, but rather be fruitful and multiply. So what God tells these first persons to do is to come together in love and to bring forth the fruit of their love in their children. Thus, mother, father, child becomes a reflection of the Trinity himself. And it's this society of the human family that God is going to have as the foundation of humanity. Based on love, based on unity, it is love and life. God in his wisdom gave to each person certain attributes that are reflective of himself. Not just the three that I mentioned of free will, rational thinking, and unconditional love, but we see what God the Father by his very nature does. God, of course, is a leader and reveals himself as such. He leads his people to salvation. He leads his people to holiness. He leads them out of slavery in Egypt. He leads them into the promised land. He leads us out of sin and leads us into grace. God the Father is leader. God guides his people by giving them the commandments. Not just the first one of don't eat the fruit, but the Ten Commandments of Moses, the Law of Moses, the Beatitudes that God the Father gives us through his Son Jesus, the great laws that Christ has given us. It's all God working in Christ the Son as a guidance to lead us back to the heart of the Father, back to himself. God protects us from all things by his power and his grace. He protects us from evil. He protects us from all harm. He provides for all of our needs. What you see in God the Father, you see in the first man. And I say that intentionally. Adam was a male, called by God to reflect his own fatherhood, to lead, to guide, protect, and provide. As the Holy Spirit comes forth from the Father, so you see Eve coming forth from Adam's side, and God gives her the attributes that you find in the Holy Spirit, to be supportive of Adam and what he's doing as husband and father, to nurture the children that are brought from them. A woman feeds a child within her own body as she is expecting. She again feeds her child with her own body when the child is born and continues to nurture, to nourish, and to feed that child and help the child grow to full stature. When a child finds himself or herself in trouble, who do they run to? Ordinarily, it's to mama, to mother's arms. She comforts her children, and the scriptures say that, as a mother comforts her children, so I will comfort you. And a woman fashions things. I'm not just speaking of clothing fashion. I mean, a man gives his wife a seed, and she produces a child. He gives her food, she makes a meal. He gives her a house, and she provides a home. She takes those things and makes it into something new, just as the Holy Spirit does. Creates and remakes all things, refashions them into something new and something perfect. So here you see man and woman with these different attributes coming together for the good of the whole. The man leading, guiding, protecting, and providing, and the female supporting, nurturing, comforting, and fashioning. But they come together as one. But then we look at God the Son, Christ, who calls both male and female to one in him. And what do we see in Jesus? We see action. We see Jesus lovingly seeking and doing good. And the Acts of the Apostles describes that Jesus went about doing good and nothing but good. We see Jesus himself as the epitome of all virtues. Christ is moral virtue itself. There is nothing that you and I, male or female, see in Christ that we should not see in ourselves. Everything about Jesus should be in us as sons and daughters of God. We see great strength and great courage. No one could endure the passion and Calvary as Christ himself did without courage that is founded in God himself, his own divinity. And of course, Christ calls all of us to holiness, to be like God. And of course, Christ became man that we, the sons and daughters of men, could truly be sons and daughters of God. In the theology of St. John Paul II and St. Teresa Benedicta, we see those other eight things: leadership, guidance, protection, providence, support, nurturing, comforting, fashioning. All those things are in perfect balance in Jesus. And as the church is the body of Christ, those things should be in perfect balance in male and female who make up the body of Christ. God doesn't want all of us to be exactly the same. He did that on purpose. It's in making us what we are that we're able to help one another to become one in a bond of love. So all this foolishness of some theologies of the past, that God is both male and female, he is neither. God surpasses male and female. He is pure spirit. He is God. But he has revealed himself to us as Father, because all things come forth from him. As the seed comes from a father and is received by the mother to become a child, all things come from God the Father to the church, that we can produce Christ once again in ourselves. Jesus revealed God as Father as well, saying that we should cry out to him, Our Father who art in heaven. And as St. Paul says, we call out to God, Abba, that is Papa or Daddy, Father. God is spirit, beyond and neither, not both, male and female, revealed as Father. It is from him that all things come. Adam, the first human, was a man. From man came Eve, as I mentioned, from Adam and Eve come children. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. Woman proceeds from man, but are equal before God and to each other in dignity. God does not love one more than the other. But as I mentioned, we are made differently, complementary to one another for our reason of being. It's to create this society of love that brings forth life. Sadly, the first man, Adam, sinned, along with the first woman. And original sin's effects and sin itself was passed on to us, their children. As the new first man had to be created, the Word, who is uncreated, took on created flesh. Jesus becomes incarnate, that is, in flesh, by the Holy Spirit's power in the womb of Mary, who is the new Eve. Mary reverses what the old Eve did through disobedience by her obedience to God. As Mary said, I am the Lord's servant, let it be done to me as you say. Christ, though male in his body, and still is male in his body, resurrected, as a perfect man, he demonstrates to us all of the above. As I mentioned, all those predominant male, female, mental, spiritual, emotional attributes are in perfect balance in Christ. So while we tend to be more of one than the other, as male and female, in the body of Christ, the church, we're all meant to bring these things together. Men being true men, women being true women, bringing harmony and balance to the church and to the world. Our society wants everybody to be the same, and sometimes even to reverse. They want women to say that you are equal to man only when you become mannish. No. Or a man needs to do away with toxic masculinity and become more effeminate. No. Men need to be men, and women need to be women. Neither of us needs to be sinful. That's where the problem lies. To relish sin, to wallow in sin, to perpetuate sin, is to destroy. But to live in grace, to be our being as God willed and to do God's will, that is life-giving. So, being a man, being a woman, this is what God wants. The world is better off if you are what God made you to be, not what sin tries to steer you to be. Love and respect yourself. Love and respect God, that you may better love and respect others. And since today is Father's Day, I would ask all the fathers in our parish, young men who will be fathers one day, to think about the fatherhood of God and to follow his example. And for you, wives, sisters, women and their families, to pray for these men that they can be what God has called them to be. To lead by example, to be men of faith, to be men of action, real men who really love God and want to be like him. Men who guide their families by faith, by hope, by love, by wisdom, having the mind and the heart of Jesus Christ. Men who protect their families by conquering any kind of material or spiritual or moral danger. One of the saddest things I've heard was a man who said, Father, when I became of age, my father gave me money and said, go find yourself a prostitute. You need to learn how to do this somehow. That's not what a father does. Not to lead his son into sin, but to lead him into virtue. Conversely, and I may have told you the story before, back when I was in Baldwin, I'm having supper with my secretary and her husband, and they had a teenage daughter whose date came to pick her up. He blows the horn outside, and the dad sitting at the table said, he's coming inside to come and tell us hello. So she kind of shrugged her shoulders inside, had the boy come inside. The father never stopped eating. He just stopped between bites, didn't even look up at the boy and said, you're going to respect my daughter. The young man said, yes, sir. I'm sitting there just kind of watching the whole thing. He said, no, son, I didn't ask you. I'm telling you, you're going to respect my daughter. Otherwise, you get to see my friend Mr. Winchester. So Mr. Winchester was written in the closet in case something would happen. And so was the priest, too. Something needed to be there. But this is what I'm talking about, protecting the family from moral danger as well as material or spiritual. And to provide for one's family lovingly and generously, to show them charity toward others, not seeing work as an end in and of itself, but work as a means to an end, a means of grace, actually. Doing one's work honestly and well, and showing one's family how to work and provide for oneself and to show generosity to others. May God, who has begun this great work in all of us, bring it to fulfillment. May we find our truest selves in the heart of God, the Father, Son, and Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.